Chapter 12. "This is getting too deep for me," I told Mom. "I know a little about the law covering real estate and inheritance, but all this stuff that happened years ago and the documents, are they authentic? I just don't know how we can tell for sure if they are real or if they are fakes." She put down her coffee cup and gazed out the kitchen window. "You're right. We need legal advice, and I don't know of anybody better to give it than Jackson Connor. It's already 9 o'clock, and I imagine he has a room full of clients, but I'll give it a try." She pushed back her chair and headed toward the phone. Punching in Jackson Connor's number, she covered the mouthpiece and said, "Probably he won't be able to see us until the end of this week. Everybody has a tight schedule nowadays." She turned back to the phone. "Hello, Mary Ann. This is Flora Tucker. Darcy and I have a problem and need to talk to Jackson as soon as possible. Do you think he can work us in on Monday, possibly?" There was a short pause, then, "Well, sure, we can come this morning, but I didn't think..." "Of course. We'll be there in about 30 minutes." She replaced the phone and turned to me, one eyebrow lifted. "Mary Ann said Jackson told her he would see us as soon as we could get there. What do you suppose that means?" I suppressed a grin. My suspicion was that the lawyer wanted to see my mother any time he had the chance. That was okay with me. He was a good, honest man, and it would be nice for Mom to have an old friend she could talk to and confide in. "I think that means that somebody around here has some pull with Levi's most popular lawyer," I said. We didn't get to Jackson Connor's office in 30 minutes. It was more like 45. Mom came downstairs sporting a dark green velveteen pantsuit I had never seen before. She wore a trace of pink lipstick and had fluffed her naturally curly hair until it framed her face. In old jeans and sweatshirt, I didn't look stylish but felt oh so comfortable. However, I couldn't pass up the opportunity for a small jab at my mother's meticulous appearance. I feigned a huge sigh and looked at the clock. "Well, it seems that we are going to be a little late for that appointment. I hope Mr. Connor is not in conference with another client when we get there. And I do hope he appreciates that pretty green outfit." Mom slipped into her coat and grinned. "I'm not worried." Three other people waited in Jackson Connor's outer office, but Mary Ann rose and beckoned us to follow her down the hall. She tapped lightly on a closed door before she opened it. Connor had been sitting behind a huge oak desk. He rose immediately and came toward us, hand outstretched first to Mom and then to me.
"Flora, Darcy, it's mighty good to see you. Come in and have a seat."
I glanced around. Jackson Connor's office was a comfortable, masculine-looking room. The cedar paneling and dark leather furniture was like the man himself, solid, dependable, and attractive. What I remembered most from past visits was the scent of his cherry-flavored pipe tobacco. Although Jackson's pipe lay unlit on his desk, that fragrance lingered. His hand rested lightly on Mom's shoulder as he guided us toward our chairs. Then he rounded the big desk, sank down into the leather swivel chair behind it, and propped his elbows on the desktop.
"Now, what can I do for you ladies today?"
It took 15 minutes for me to explain our bizarre situation. It took him twice that long to explain the nuances of the law to Mom and me. He steepled his fingers under his chin.
"First of all, the law on inheritance of property is pretty clear-cut. The legal heirs of the original owner of a piece of real estate have every right to that piece of property in a line of progression that goes from a husband or wife to children and on to grandchildren. If none of those exist, then the owner's brothers or sisters and their heirs would inherit. That would be pretty simple in your case if everything was legal and recorded. This Caldwell man owned the property originally. If he was, in fact, married to Grace for only a short period of time and there were no children from this union, Grace would be the legitimate heir."
He frowned.
"Of course, that all depends on being able to prove there actually was a marriage between the two."
I nodded. "Yes, and that's one of the things that I haven't been able to establish to my mother's satisfaction, but I believe it must be true. I spent most of one day searching through records and newspapers, and it looks like there was a marriage. Mom looked down at her hands. I guess it's a case of my mind realizing the facts say my mother was married before she married my father, and my heart refusing to believe it's true. It just seems disloyal to accept it. Let's consider for a minute that it did indeed happen, and they were only married for a couple of months.
Yes, we can assume that, Mom said, even though it makes my stomach twist up in knots.
I glanced up at the framed motto which had graced Jackson's wall for as long as I could remember. If God brought you to it, he will take you through it. Was it God who had brought us to this dilemma? I fervently hoped that he would take us through it.
At any rate, Jackson continued, if this Eileen does prove to be the offspring of Coldfell, she might very well be an heir, depending on when her grandmother was born. If that happened before he was married to Grace, then Eileen would be the primary heir. If it happened afterward, then Grace's claim would come first.
He paused and picked up his pipe.
Do you ladies mind if I smoke?
We both shook our heads.
So you've got a couple of problems here that are going to be hard to resolve because of the length of time involved and because it can sometimes be really difficult to prove the authenticity of a birth certificate. Occasionally, in the past, doctors made our birth certificates on the information given to them by a member of the family, and there have been cases where that information was false.
Mom asked, how can we prove what happened in the past if we have no way of knowing which documents are real? Jackson patted Mom's hand.
Because it happened so long ago, it may be difficult. I'll do a little investigating, but what we may have to do is file a petition with the court to determine ownership of the land. That would involve a lot of time and a lot of people. That is, assuming we can find enough people who recall hearing things from parents and grandparents.
He nodded his head.
Yes, that might work.
Jackson puffed on his pipe.
But you see, we're talking about events that happened almost a century ago, and there may not be much in the way of written records. So many who might have known something about the case have died or moved away.
I shifted in my chair. We realize we are sort of groping in the dark. We thought we might find some answers in Granny Grace's journal, but it was stolen. His blue eyes sharpened.
You don't say.
Reluctantly, I told him about the theft which happened during Eileen's visit.
You see, Mr. Connor, that journal of Granny Grace's may possibly help us understand what's going on now, nearly 100 years after it was written. And the gun, well, surely the gun and marriage certificate and journal are tied together in this strange tale.
His pipe had grown cold while I talked. He tapped the ashes out in the glass tray on his desk. Mom fidgeted.
What do you think, Jackson?
He shrugged.
Somebody didn't want you to see what was in that journal, so whatever it is must be important. But the fact that Flora and her immediate ancestors have been paying taxes on that land and have been using it for several years is a point in your favor. Unless, of course, the information in the journal flatly contradicts everything you believe about the land.
He turned to my mother.
You have been using that land in some manner for the last several years, haven't you, Flora?
Yes. Most of it I've been renting to the Staffords and Bruce Dowell for pasture.
Let me do a little research and we'll see what we can find out. In the meantime, Darcy, you might tie into your information sources and see what you can find out about this Eileen. Seems mighty odd to me that nobody knew anything about her and then she shows up just when that piece of land is getting to be in high demand.
I nodded. I'll let you know, Mr. Connor. He blew a perfect smoke ring toward the ceiling and turned toward my mother. His voice lost none of its brusqueness as he said,
I was considering, Flora, that you and I might go over to that new restaurant on Highway 94 on Sunday evening and give it a try. What do you think?
Mom blushed like a schoolgirl. She glanced at me, smiled, and looked back at Jackson.
I think that's a mighty fine idea.
On that surprising note, we all rose to our feet. Jackson walked with us to the door of his outer office.
and I'll try to study the law on real estate a little bit more between now and then. If we're lucky, I might even have some information for you by that time."
We shook hands all around. Then Mom and I strode past the waiting people and climbed into my red Ford Escape.